Good morning. Today is Wednesday, July the 5th, the day after the 4th. See, I can pay attention to the calendar. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor Estelle Fennell. Good morning, lady.
Good morning, Brian. I'm feeling a little independent today, huh?
Oh, I ran
a lot of it yesterday.
Yes. I got a quote for you that actually is going to kind of sort of make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Fritz Perls is the source. Anxiety is the gap between the now and the later.
That's a good one.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So nobody got hurt yesterday, huh?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, good, good. Do you partake in the July 3rd events in Fortuna?
In Fortuna, I have traditionally taken part in that. Been involved in the pie-eating contest, never won, but I'm pretty good at it.
If I ever got sucked into that, it would have to be blueberry pie. Or apple. Or
apple
peach.
Apple okay. is the one of choice,
you know,
with a lot of cream.
And I'm going to take plenty of time.
That's the problem.
Yes.
That's the problem. Oh, my God, it is so funny. It's really, really funny. But, yeah.
Now, I may have a big old fork, so there would be a little comic relief, but I'm not going to.
You're not going to get it all over your nose.
No. Why ruin a good pie opportunity?
Especially these days, huh?
Yeah. No kidding. So in a new fiscal year,
mm-hmm.
relief, anxiety?
I think the anxiety is over. Anticipation. I'm happy to be in the new fiscal year. There are a lot of things that we worked into the budget that I think are going to be very productive and looking forward to them being implemented. One of those, actually kind of a side thing really, but was a part of the budget, is that the Americans with Disability Act compliance is all in the CAO's office now, which makes a lot of sense. We're going to see more people involved with that transition in the next few days, weeks, etc.
So you guys assigned it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To Amy? Or
Amy, yeah.
It just kind of processed through?
It got processed through, but it, as part of the budget, it got folded into the CAO's office.
Which makes sense.
A lot of sense.
And I suppose this is more of a philosophical. I know there's a temptation to help out folks
mm-hmm.
as being elected.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the basic canons of being on any board is you don't micromanage. You are 5 years out.
Yeah. You delegate responsibility.
Well, and your focus is where you want to be,
exactly.
not where you are today. So
exactly.
with the ADA, I have not ever seen this compliance as anything to do with the board.
Mm-hmm.
It's the CAO.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, there seems to be an awful lot of discussion, a lot of focus from the elected five, instead of saying, you know, guys, you had this responsibility in this office that's yours to take care of. Let us know when it's done. We're focusing on not 2017, but on 22.
Well, the only interface, and that's often the case with other agencies too, or departments such as the sheriff, is the budget. So because of the situation we're in, it's going to take a huge chunk of our budget going forward. So that's where we're
involved. Financial impact.
The financial impact is
huge. But not the
huge.
Doing, not the
no.
updates, not the
Mm-mm.
maintenance, not uh-uh.
No, no. And now I will say I'm on the ADA Advisory Committee, and we just basically talk about, how it's going forward, who's going to take care of what, and we get updated. We don't really, lead it. We get updated on what's happening because we have to keep tabs on it, and we are getting help there.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, one of the things that's out there, and I suppose one of the cool things about being a supervisor is you get to see big picture.
Yes.
But one of the challenging things is you see big picture. So in looking at the airports, and I know there's been a rift.
Mm-hmm.
That may not be as big as Olduvai Gorge, but there's been a rift in philosophical approaches to airport management day-to-day, airport district overall,
mm-hmm.
public works, different styles.
Yeah.
I guess is probably the simplest way to look at it. Now, I understand that there's some discussion that has been kicking around to make Humboldt County's airports commonly structured to other counties,
mm-hmm.
you know, a special district, da-da-da-da, governance board, things of that nature. Does that feel right to you?
What I'm going to hold, speaking of the big picture, I am going to wait to hear from Volaire, because those guys, we've actually paid them to do a study on it. I've had a pretty good conversation with them, but I haven't seen anything that they've come up with yet. On an interesting note, they will actually be here tomorrow, and they'll be continuing their study of the aviation and quote-unquote sustainability of the aviation.
So are they looking at the physicalness of it?
I think they're looking at all of it. In fact, I hope they are.
So status, know. So that they would status, know what the gap
yes.
is.
Yes. What the, I mean, I know that in my conversation, I don't know if I can speak specifically about anything. I don't think it's, a state secret. But we talk about, the viability of the various airports. Where will Murrayfield be 10 years from now, 20
underwater
years from now?
Is what I was
that's
told.
Kind of what
yeah.
everybody's thinking. And so, what about the airports in my district, Ronerville, Garberville, Dinsmore? They're all doing fine, and to the extent of that they exist in a good space. But there are a lot of things to look at on in terms of the physical management, the physical layout, what we want to do. There are some counties.
Potential. That's what I see.
The potential. It's an economic. It could be a significant part of our diverse economy. And in fact, we talked about that. In some smaller counties, it's probably the only thing they've got.
Well, in thinking if/when the marijuana stuff becomes legal federally,
mm-hmm.
so now it can take to the air.
Oh my God!
look at Ronerville.
Yeah, no kidding.
I would think Garberville's, unless you really got a lot of money, maybe that becomes, I don't know, but it could be isolated pretty easily with the water. But
mm-hmm.
but Ronerville would seem like that would be the spot. It's big enough. It's got facilities around it. It could be expanded. It's always clear in sunny Fortuna that could really be an economic hub for whatever this thing is that the county ends up having with the airports. Are things like that being taken into consideration by these folks also, what the future might bring?
I hope so. I certainly brought it up. I didn't tie it to any specific thing like cannabis or whatever, but what I did say is in the past we've looked at Ronerville Airport as a freight center, UPS, FedEx, all of those guys.
Yeah, regional type thing.
And it is very well located. It's got a nice long runway. And, it's not in the fog very often. The one challenge at Ronerville, and it's not that much of a challenge, is the layout of that bluff so that once in a while winds can be an issue. But in today's world, that's not half as much of an issue as fog is, And I do think the infrastructure could be improved. There's some already. But certainly it's not something you're going to write off. I think Ronerville has a ton of potential. As far as mentioning Garberville or even Dinsmore, those are really important for emergencies. They're used a lot in
sure, for
fires,
medical. That makes a ton of sense.
Super important to keep
to
them going.
To try to build a commercial facility around those.
No, I don't think so. No. They're good for private use, people visiting, that kind of thing. But honestly, it's never going to become a really big airport, either one of those guys. But they are important to maintain because airports have different functions, Some are freight, passenger, and then you've got just general emergency. And, you know, if you've got an issue with any of your other airports, at least in emergencies, they can use those. So I'm pleased to know that, as far as I understand, Volaire recognizes that. And I'm not sure what we're going to do about Murrayfield, but we're going to have to plan about it.
Yeah, I understand it's sinking now. Settling, and it seems like the use is a little bit less than what it has been.
Yeah, right. So these are all big things.
Frankly, if the FedEx guys had to use Ronerville, then they're not playing games with my towers, and that would be good.
Yeah.
Turkeys.
Okay. there's the structure that can be looked at also, you know, how it's managed. And I'm really looking forward to the input that we get back from the study, see where we move from there.
So is it an advisory? Is it mm-hmm. a research document?
Yes.
It comes back.
Yes.
There it is. Six
recommendations
sitting there. Mm-hmm. Now, is this going to be another one of the, well, now there's the Airport Advisory Committee, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so they have to at least be apprised of it and come up with a decision one way or the other. Do you think that this thing will have short resolution action? Or does this have the overtones of another general plan?
Well, let me just say, Brian, you said that there were different takes on the whole issue of what's wrong and what's right with aviation in Humboldt County. I'll say, depending on what comes out of the study, it'll either go forward pretty quickly or it'll languish. That's my feeling.
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Estelle, one of the things that has been kind of common in the last couple weeks, and Mark Wheatley is the one who brought it up, but certainly Steve Watson brought it up as being one of the property owners. And a couple of other folks we've had on the last couple of weeks on the show about the county's rush, perhaps might be a good term, to get zoning, permitting things in place, and now kind of looking and going, now we need to, which is the ideal thing for making the adjustments. That's why you have that ability to have amendments and things of that nature. Did the county act either too quickly or without reflecting? I guess maybe that's it. Reflecting to consider potential impacts that just didn't seem to make it on the table?
I think that the county took a lot of input from all over the county. We had a lot of discussions. We had a lot of meetings. I was getting sick and tired of seeing the front page of the Times Standard with a marijuana leaf on it because we had so many meetings.
It's been the last decade.
We talked and talked and talked and talked and talked about it. Interestingly enough, and I say this with all due fondness and respect for the city of Fortuna. We didn't hear much from Fortuna when we were talking about it. And I think that that is a lesson that we learned. And in fact, I passed on to other counties last week when we were when we had 17 or 18 counties here to talk about enforcing and regulating cannabis rules. So what I think is that the unintended thing was not enough communication with Fortuna, possibly Blue Lake, because they didn't really come forward. And so what we had was...
Well, you know, both of those cities have said not in our town.
Exactly.
So I'm sure that there
was... But they said it after the fact.
Didn't, yeah. And in Fortuna, they were going through their change of leadership, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So that, lots of things going on. But I guess the thing that is intriguing to me is we talk about sphere of influence in so many areas, and yet it didn't seem to surface in this discussion.
It's interesting because the underpinning of it is that when we were putting this regulation together, we wanted to make it even stricter than the state regulations. So what we wanted to do is to narrow new agricultural product endeavors down to areas where prime agricultural lands, flat prime agricultural lands. When you looked at the map, the prime agricultural lands around Fortuna didn't really stand out. You saw these big sections.
Well, you think Ferndale? Ferndale
is in the coastal zone, so it's not even being planned yet. So the bottom line is that under all of this, it just never really occurred to anybody that there would be this pressure on the city of Fortuna, and I don't think Fortuna really recognized it either. As soon as a couple of applications came in, first of all, you had new purchases of these lands by new people
coming in,
and so we started to see it. And I have to say, I was the first one, I think, at a meeting that I did with the neighbors to bring up the idea, hey, you know, this is in the sphere of influence. Maybe we need to look at developing some kind of agreement with the city in the sphere of influence. And that's actually what we're going to do through the EIR, which will be coming out in September. And the city has given its input now. And we're looking at things that... No, whoever might have gotten a permit as a result of the current regulations would be grandfathered in or non-conforming, legal non-conforming is what they would be. I tend to think that there are two aspects of what we're doing with the new regulations or the revamped regulations, which, by the way, we couldn't touch because of a lawsuit until we did our EIR. We couldn't make any changes in the ordinance, which would be the normal course of things. So when we've got our EIR done, there are a couple of things that I think will make a big difference on the surrounding of Fortuna and possibly Blue Lake as well. And that is that you will be able to get a permit for a new cannabis business on agricultural land as well as prime agricultural land. So that will relieve the pressure on the prime agricultural land. And we will also be looking at putting extra requirements for a conditional use permit or special permit in the sphere of influence. So I think you're going to see a drop-off in the pressure in those areas.
Yeah, I would have thought, if the fog bank wasn't there, you look at somebody like the bulb farm, or those areas, you know, the cattle farms, and why not kick them over? But now there it is in front of everybody instead of up in the woods around the corner.
Right,
it's right there, and now the smell is wafting into town, and it puts a whole different spin than what we're experiencing at this point.
Yeah, it's
for
interesting.
Most people.
Yeah, and I will go back to the meeting we had in Eureka last week with CSAC, the California State Association of Counties. A lot of people there whose counties have not yet put an ordinance in place, and they were very, very shy about it. We took them out on a tour, and when they got to see an actual regulated farm done all legally and everything, they began to change their minds and understand that it can be done. And that's the fundamental bottom line of this whole thing. Regulated, and this will be extremely regulated, will make it not the same cannabis industry that we're used to hearing with that illegal picture.
KINS, News and Information Times, 844. We'll be back with more from Estelle.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. You were about to say.
Yeah, well, Brian, one thing I want to say before we end here, I think that it's really important. I don't know if you know, but I used to be the executive director of the Humboldt Coalition for Property Rights. I believe very strongly in property rights. So looking at the big picture, I want to make sure that we don't take away people's rights. Either the neighbors or the property owners, we have to look at the big picture. We have to find a way that will work. And I think that once we've had a chance to revamp this ordinance through the environmental impact report process, we will have found the perfect solution. And I really sincerely believe that.
Are there enough of the big boys, Estelle, that have already weighed in, that if they slide in underneath this, will it impact? Or those that have taken advantage in the sphere of influences now, are they so few that it can be handled almost on an individual basis rather than on a broad brush basis?
I honestly, there was a bit of a charge that we were speeding these forward, and I can tell you at least with two of them, they actually got delayed by a couple of months or more while the applicants were looking for other areas. So I think that's going to make a very big difference once those areas are more available to them. You know, you're just not going to see that pressure.
Now, I've had a couple folks off air.
Mm-hmm.
Indicate that there is a potential for a RICO statute to come into play. That Colorado is dealing with that now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For those that are unfamiliar, it's illicit gains,
right,
impacting somebody else's property, mm-hmm, negatively on a financial basis, mm-hmm, and having to make up that impact. Is the county looking at anything along these lines? Because I gotta believe that there's going to be, if not in Humboldt, somewhere in the state, somebody's going to be pulling that out and using it as a reference, just as they are in Colorado and Washington.
I don't know. We have to. We haven't been looking at the federal aspect of it at all, except to say that we are hoping that eventually down the line with this move that the federal government will make it possible to do banking, which will make it a lot easier and a lot more secure. And will also allow those funds to be used in the community. Can you imagine if the banks can actually legally move those funds? You can now. You have money for loans, for housing, for business development, etc. So, if this is going to be part of the community, hopefully the federal government will see the wisdom of that. As far as the RICO statute, that has to do with criminal conspiracy type things.
Yeah. Profits from illegal activities.
Yeah, so.
As defined at the federal level.
As defined at the federal level. So,
certainly qualify in that regard. Is the state AG doing anything? Is that office doing anything to try to either push at the federal level or to develop continuity throughout the state counties?
The California State Association of Counties, as I said, we're here last week, have actually formed a committee to deal with that, and I think would be talking with the AG. I also think that our congressman has been tasked with carrying the message forward. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, you know, with all the lip service, I still think it's a third rail issue for a lot of folks.
It is.
And it's going to be a fourth and fifth rail here with the train wreck if somebody isn't taking care of it. All right, my analogy's done.
Thank you so much for that, Brian.
Thanks for coming by, Estelle.
Thank you so much, Brian.
See everybody tomorrow.